It's inflammation in the small intestines, basically. They categorize it as an autoimmune disorder that your body is attacking itself. And mine was in a pretty classic area in the around the ileocecal area valve. And so it was classic. It was like, oh, you have classic Crohn's. And I was like, oh, well, that's delightful.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. So I'm up at the retreat house with Max and some family. My intention is to be up here to detoxify off those hormones and to really rest and be super steady on the Bean Protocol, which feels really good up here right now, especially. And I'm going to turn you on to some of my cool finds. This will be my roundup. I don't really have a place to do it on the blog anymore. So what we've decided is we're going to try it once a month on the podcast, and then we'll send it out in our podcast newsletter once a month. So if you're not subscribed and your ears are perked by some of the finds on here, make sure to subscribe to the newsletter below, as these you will be able to find in our show notes on our podcast, which are linked below, or in the newsletter. And none of these are sponsored and nothing in here is affiliated, but I do love sharing the cool shit I come across. And I keep getting the downloads that I can't drop that lifestyle part of the brand, especially because I think a lot of people benefit from it as I do from other bloggers. And I actually am on the hunt for some good ones because I don't really have any that I follow anymore. So one artist that I really want to put on your radar, her name is Marcy McGoldrick, and she's a porcelain artist. I think she used to be with Martha Stewart on the team and then has now moved into being a full porcelain artist. And her cameo jewelry is incredible. I got one of the necklaces just to test it out and try it out, and now I'm super coveting the black onyx gold ring. And then she has the most killer on her site, all linked below, beautiful onyx incense vessel that kind of reminds me of sort of copal or copal, however you want to, you know, pronounce it, vessels, you know, and you can find them in Mexico and a lot of Central and South American regions. Super beautiful, timeless. Also a book that I'm reading right now that was gifted to me on my birthday by my dear friend Emily of Boda, Modern Wellness, is An American Sunrise, which is a really important book of poems of centering around Indigenous people that were run out of their homes entirely. And it's so, so beautiful and compassionate. And it's really giving me a deeper perspective and empathy of being in those shoes. So a really important and beautiful book. There's a hand-woven meditation blanket that I'm linking below that I actually got in December. It was my Christmas gift to myself. I think it's so beautiful. I use it up here at the retreat house a lot. I actually like put a belt around it and make it, I don't know, this really Tex-Mexy stunning piece. I actually saw that on my friend Agnes Bedu's Instagram account because she used to be a stylist. We have her podcast link below episode. And since then, I've just been loving that piece. So I wanted to put on your radar a new scent company that's 100% plant-based scents. So totally natural, clean, and stunning. To me, it reminds me of old Italy. I hope I'm not mispronouncing this because I know the creator listens to the podcast, but Sigil scent? I just haven't heard it pronounced before, but that will certainly be linked properly. It's so beautiful. If you've been looking for clean scents that really, the one that I smelled that really have one foot in, one foot out of masculine, feminine. So it's that perfect combination and really clean, not an endocrine disruptor. I'm personally taking the Alexa Smart Flower Remedy, which is Peaceful Worrier. And I think I talked about this a lot, but it's the ongoing joke with my friends and I in the community that I did Unburden in December, and it unburdened me a lot. You know, like during these really tense astrological times, I've just been Mr. Magooing around and feeling fine, but getting loads of text messages from all of my pals that are like, ah, what's going on? What workshop do I do? And meanwhile, I'm just like, da, 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 da. So it really unburdened me, and I've moved into Peaceful Worrier, and Max and I are going to be doing Above It All after. So that is linked below. And then there's this ceramic steamer that I came across. So those, you know, bamboo steamers that you can steam dumplings in or vegetables, it's sort of replacement of those. It looks like it, but it's white and ceramic. It's beautiful. I just ordered it for the retreat house up here. So you'll be able to enjoy that when you're here. And for anybody in LA, the best, I mean, this Greek wrap spot. They also make the wraps into bowls. It's so beautiful, clean, eco, and so tasty, called Ella's Greek Eats, or Ella Greek Eats, Ella. I hope I'm saying that correctly. That's why I like to put these in writing. I get away with you know, my butchering of pronunciations. But that kind of clears up my roundup. Those are all the things that I'm pretty excited about this week. We'll have them in the newsletter. Check them out. Let's move into today's episode. Today, I'm very excited for you because everybody who's been following along with my journey of health on the Bean Protocol, which is what Karen Hurd founded, you heard that episode back in December. It's linked below if you haven't. It would surprise me if you haven't, because I think it's one of our most shared episodes now. I still see people sharing it. People are blown away by it. It's what I've been doing. And I think I shared just on my Instagram last week. My stepmom, who's always had quote unquote hereditarily high cholesterol, she's tried everything to manage it. Nothing shifted it. She's been on this for 4 months, went to get blood work done last week, came back that it's 40 points down. Also, her partner, who's had completely debilitating IBS to the point where he couldn't eat anything without having to go to the bathroom and nothing could sit with him, and so painful. He was down to eating just white rice and chicken. That's all he could have. He couldn't go anywhere, couldn't eat out. Couldn't take the risk of having anything else other than bland white rice and chicken. Did it for 3 months and now can eat anything. And I think those are really important shares to parlay into Unique's episode today, where she walks us through her entire process of what I've explained many times when I first began doing this protocol in my intros. The worst case of Crohn's I've ever heard of. She goes deep into the symptoms, everything she tried. And then what's so beautiful, she really walks us through her personal experience on this protocol. She's now been on it for 7 years to the date, you know, and she's balanced. So she's a lot looser about it. You can be, you know, a normal human being again. It doesn't have to be super rash. She's the first person who will tell you, I do like my matcha sometimes and, you know, my berries, and I'll have my mezcal here and there. So it's like, it's just about getting back into balance, but this saved her life. So I just wanted somebody else to hear firsthand from, I've actually been coached through this process by Unique. She was the person who introduced me to it. And then we got on a phone call a Monday after we met up and she told me about it. And she has since been holding my hand through the entire process, and many of your hands in this community. I know this because I keep running into you guys at Erewhon. You're all like, I'm working with Unique too. I think it's spanned into my family, Max's family. I mean, it's really blown up, and Unique is helping so many people. And so this will be her personal story. I talk about how I met Unique. She's a dear friend now, but she was the sister of my executive producer at my first job in Los Angeles. And Unique was the woman that I completely looked up to. I mean, she was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen in real life. So cool, effortless, an incredible mom. And so I was always following along. She was definitely like an aging expander for me, because at her age now, she's ageless, even having undergone such, you know, such a terrible disease and overcoming it. So I helped encourage this, and she had already had this on the forefront. She created a digital workshop, which is called Unique Being Protocol. And it's especially, it's an introductory workshop to this process, to healing your gut, you know, to getting your gut rebalanced, your hormones rebalanced, wherever you are on the spectrum. If you're in a really debilitating position, or if you're just, you know, wanting to get your feet wet to rebalance and recalibrate your health. And so she's offering anybody in the community who wants to try that out. It's linked below. If you use the code LACY, all caps, LACY 25, you'll receive $25 off. Let's get into Unique's story. Well, welcome to the Expanded Podcast, Unique. I will have given a really lengthy intro before this of all of the backstory, but what I want to kick off with you, because it's so dynamic, is tell us about your cultural upbringing and background.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know it.
So it is interesting to me that my childhood would definitely, I would come full circle back to my childhood. I was raised by super health conscious hippies that really instilled in me what you should put in your body. And interestingly enough, at that time, my father always referred to protein as medicine. And I love that because in what I eat myself today and help others through is really using meat as a condiment. It's not this big slab of meat on your plate, but it's like it's a part of your meal that is supportive to your whole body health. And my dad was really the one who planted that seed of like, we don't need to overeat protein, but we do need it in our human body and we should consider it medicine. So I grew up, you know, with a mom and dad who made their own cough syrups, who anytime we had an illness, whether it be chicken pox or the flu, my mom had salves and, you know, different witch's brew that we had to drink. And honestly, I think we spent a lot of times not getting sick because we didn't want to drink it. It really tasted foul. So when I left home, and I did at such a young age, there's a lot of complexities to my childhood. And I ended up leaving home around 14 years old and getting a job and just beginning my life and going to school. I ran away from home, but I also ran away from their teachings. I joke that my next book will be called Snickers for Breakfast because I got as far away from the holistic way that they had taught me to eat, which was eat directly from nature. We would forage as kids. We would look for mushrooms and mint and you name it. Like, it was amazing. And I just got as far away from that as I could and would eat sugar all the time and eat out. And I think I had my first fast food at, you know, 20 years old. And it was horrible, by the way. That was not a revelation. I was like, that's disgusting. How do people eat that? So that, you know, my taste buds were definitely there, but I really look back, and especially when I was ill and I was choosing the path forward for myself, I realized that having that upbringing became the foundation of my ability to do what I did. Because if I look back at what I did in the years that I suffered, I'm like, what? That's crazy that you did that. It's crazy. Who is it? And it almost feels like a dream now, to be honest. But it was 100% my upbringing and what my parents gave me at a young age that became the tools that I would use for my own healing.
And amen to them. Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were totally going against the grain at that time. And in some ways not, because if you think about that time also, especially in Big Sur where I was raised, the hippie community was strong.
Oh, so strong. I have so many friends that are from out of there now that were like growing up on like a commune eating off of the Esalen farm. You know, it's like, this is nothing. It's the same. It's so awesome.
It's so beautiful. I mean, I don't think I have yet to go to a place that touches me the way the Big Sur does.
Yeah.
It lives inside of you. Once you go, it just lives inside of you.
How did you survive when you got to LA? Did you have a sister living here?
I had a sister. I stayed with her for a little while, but we were very, at that age, incompatible. And so I got a job as a live-in nanny in Topanga Canyon.
Wow. Interesting. That is full circle. I want to hear more because you grew up in like
it was so polarizing, right? You had like a Mormon mother who grew up in the hills in LA, I think. And then your dad was a dichotomy to her, but they were very much in love.
Yes. Yeah, so mom was raised a strict Mormon. And my dad was what I think they called at the time a beatnik, because he was well-dressed with short hair, but a total pot smoker and sold weed and just was really anti-government. And, you know, then he met my mom, who I think in looking back, she was kind of looking for a direction. And my dad had a very sure voice. He was, you know, it's about eating well. It's about taking care of your body. It's about living well. So they came from such big, you know, different backgrounds. But I think my mom's desire to be part of something, you know, bigger than herself really attracted her to him. And I think he kind of loved the fact that she was looking for that, you know?
Absolutely. And what I really enjoy, I love some of the holistic stories you tell me, because they were, I mean, like you're saying, they were so extremely interesting. You know, your mother would have to stop breastfeeding one child because she'd have another. But tell us about the incredible bottle she made. I mean, who's heard of Weston Price when you have this kind of a bottle?
Yeah, the bottle she made us, I don't even think we mind being weaned. But yes, you're right. She had one child after another. So the bottle was raw milk. With a raw cow milk, with fresh from the cow, by the way, because we used to make our own raw milk as well. An egg yolk, one egg yolk, molasses, and brewed yeast. And there was something about that combo. I haven't had it since I was, you know, little, but there's something about that combo that I'm pretty sure I would probably drink today, even though I don't drink cow's milk.
I mean, that's so legit. If you have to give a bottle, that's incredible. I love that.
No chemicals and no soy and no, you know, heavy metals. And it was just, yeah, I think, I'm sure we all stole bottles from each other because it was just like, oh wait, you have more.
I mean, and you were all tiny.
Oh yeah. I mean, the pictures, I'm sure you've seen the photographs of us. It was like, what age and who's older and who's younger. And, you know, we're all pretty, you know, I would say me and my sister Celeste are 14 months apart, 16 months apart, something like that.
Insane.
Yeah.
And so you hit LA and you were modeling sort of after school or around school time. You're supposed to be in school, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. I definitely wasn't the most studious student. Yeah, and I did a bunch of extra work at Baywatch, which would shoot right down the road from the high school I went to at Pali High. So I did a ton of extra work for Baywatch and music videos and stuff like that. But I actually hated it, to be honest. It was an interesting thing to make money focusing on the one thing that I really wasn't comfortable focusing on, which was the way I looked.
Interesting.
Yeah, I really disliked it. And the busier I got and the more jobs I booked, the more I found myself kind of retracting my soul, you know, just like pulling, like my insides were almost pulling away from the director or from the photographer. And I would find myself thinking these thoughts of like, don't talk to me.
Wow.
Like, don't tell me to be sexy or jet my hip or pout my mouth. Like I just found myself having this incredible physical reaction to doing it. So I stopped.
And you got married fairly young and had both of your girls.
Absolutely. Yep. So I made the obviously wise decision.
Husband number one.
That would be the husband I would call safety and security.
Yeah.
You know, providing something that I had never really experienced. The one thing about my upbringing was that it was transient at best. Like we were, you know, you'd go to sleep in one place and you'd wake up in a different place. And that was pretty common in my childhood. And in a weird way, I actually had to let go of that because for the longest time, I just didn't want to stay in one place or, you know, in one environment. But yet, ultimately, I craved it. I craved to put down deep roots and, you know, create a life that had some consistency to it. And I didn't, you know, it's interesting because I never actually wanted to get married. And it's funny to me that I've been married twice now.
I know.
I never strived to get married. I strived for companionship and partnership and those things. But marriage in its actual self was never part of the game plan. So
interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, 20 years old, married, 23, first daughter, 26, second daughter.
And you did 2 natural births when that just wasn't even a thing anymore.
Yeah, they actually kind of laughed at Cedars-Sinai. They were like, yeah, everybody walks in here thinking they are going to have a natural childbirth, and pretty much nobody walks out. And I remember just being like a little like pissed about that. I was like, well, you don't know me. I am stubborn and I'll do it. And I did. I didn't have any medical interventions, but my mom, you know, had all of us at home in a bathtub or, you know, in a hotel room or wherever they were at the time. That's where the baby.
And your dad would deliver, right?
Yeah, my dad would deliver. Although my mom used to wink and say he'd get the hot water. But yeah, so the two of them had all of us. And I really appreciated that. But I remember at the time when I was having mine, I wanted to do natural, but I also wanted to be in an environment that if something happened, that there was other help available.
Did your mom lose any during childbirth?
No, not one.
Wow.
And I think a sibling of mine was born with a cord wrapped around their neck, and my dad just, you know, reached in and, you know, relieved the cord around the neck. And we were born, you know, in all different positions, and they just, whatever came at them, they dealt with, which I find amazing.
Wow. I've had so many friends, like, I really appreciate your decision. I appreciate everybody's decision. I think any way is the right way. And I've had so many friends who have, you know, attempted a home birth and had to be rushed to the emergency room midway through like a crowning, you know, and they're like, and that's, of course, not to scare anybody. I really do believe any way is the right way and people really know their bodies. But I just find that so interesting. To that, I have to give them so much credit, like having so much strength and educating themselves and really going against the grain of everything society told them. They're just so interesting to me, your parents.
Yeah, they were interesting to me as a kid. I actually found my favorite pastime was just watching them. And when my other siblings were off reading a book or doing something else, I actually was you know, really fascinated by the way they related to each other and who they were. And I was definitely a daddy's girl. Like, my mom was like, oh yeah, whatever. My mom is cool. But my dad, the sun would rise and set on him. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. I loved his stories. I loved his dedication to helping people and, you know, through yoga and massage and, you know, chiropractics. And again, interesting foreshadowing because it was very traditional where my dad would take the boys to do things. And I always wanted to go along like, hey, take me too, you know? I would get up at 5 a.m. and be like, I want to come mushroom hunting and I want to be a part of what you're doing, whatever you're doing. I want to be a part of it. So, you know, in the foraging, we'd forage mushrooms and wild mints and wild lemon balms. And we'd go, you know, we'd drive for hours to places that I have no idea how my dad figured out these places. To be honest. But he was a healer and he really wanted, I think, one of us to kind of take that. And none of us wanted it. None of us, I don't think anyway, like I definitely didn't. I was interested, but I was like, no, I see how you're struggling to get these very, you know, forward thinking ideas into the world, but nobody was kind of ready for what he had to say. And for the way that they were raising us, like really all natural, all organic, no sugar, you know, foraging, making our own cough syrups. That was, you know, almost 44 years old. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it was just an unlearning that they were relearning that society had unlearned, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and crazy.
I want to segue in because it's going to be such a big part of this. Your journey from discovering your sickness during your time of sickness, your illness, and then the road to recovery, which will really take us into your work.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. And funny enough, I was just looking over my book and I was remembering, you know, and I remember every day that when I found Karen's work, I was in such a broken state, not just physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. I tried so many things and I had so little faith left. And I wasn't even sure if at that point my body would heal. And I just remember going, if this works, I'm going to make this more available to people so it's not a needle in the haystack. Because yeah, that's what it was for me, you know?
I mean, even at this point, if you Google beans, liver, soluble fiber, detox, any of that, one article will come up. I think it's on Healthline, kind of outlining what beans can do. But it is so unknown. It seems outrageous.
It is. And it's, you know, I give free consults all the time and they're just like, so beans? And I'm like,
I know. Even I didn't really have a clue, you know, until we met each other. And it made sense at that point to me because I had hit such a point with my liver and had a lot of liver signs pointing to that was the thing. So I was like, okay, cool. But it sounds outlandish.
It does. And, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm a lot younger than Karen Hurd, and I'm going to write this book that hopefully is going to really get people excited about this idea of eating for health in a deep and meaningful and scientific way, you know, on a chemical level. And I am so thankful every day of my life for Karen Hurd because A, I'm here because of her. I'm healthy and I'm, you know, thriving and I'm helping other people. And I'm doing what I set out to do, which is like make her work more known, because what I saw in going to school was that everything I learned was stuff I'd already learned in books for the most part, right? I was just getting a certification for all of these things. But even when I follow, you know, holistic doctors and medical people and other nutritionists, they're all regurgitating the same information.
Completely.
What I love about Karen Hurd is that she didn't regurgitate old information. And, you know, so many people are like posting stuff and they're like, based on this study, you know, you should be doing this. And all I can think is studies are not what we think they are. They're not always 100%. There's a lot of variables involved. And
what I find really interesting is most every study that's ever been done, and I understand they have to be controlled, you know, lab oriented for the most part, but they're all done indoors. None are, and we're, as humans, animals, everything, we're obviously meant to be living outdoors in the full spectrum of the sun. So kind of almost most studies that exist out there, there's a whole added layer that just will never be truthful. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And most of the studies on meat are not necessarily done on grass-fed or wild. Like, there's just a lot of variables. And I see the regurgitation. And what I still to this day am just profoundly thankful for her is stepping back and looking at the landscape differently and, you know, at, on a different level. And it's because of that that, you know, she's able to help so many people. And it's simple. It's so simple and it's so cheap. And if you look at everything in our world, everything is so expensive. Every quote unquote great doctor, every, you know, it's like you're just bleeding money. And she's saying, here's an option to help yourself that doesn't take a ton of money.
It's the most accessible protocol I've ever heard of in any country, the most accessible. It's unbelievable. So tell us about your illness, because that's a really huge turning point in your life.
Yes. So I, at a young age, I decided money made you happy, because being poor was definitely didn't bring happiness. Like, it was simple, but it didn't. And so I set out in my life to make money. And I did that. And I worked really hard and I was healthy-ish. I traveled a lot. I definitely drank too much. I took out clients all the time. And, you know, so I really had departed the healthy childhood and, you know, gave it up for all things enjoyable and it tastes good. So it's good. And as long as I can fit into my jeans, then I'm healthy. Healthy was what I looked like versus what I felt like. And if I'm honest with myself and I look back, I don't think I felt that great a lot of the time. I would get really horrible heart racing and palpitations after going out and having a couple drinks, and indigestion was pretty common. And, you know, it would go in phases. So it wasn't always 100% of the time. It was transient. And so I just kind of, you know, I had my yearly checkups and all my blood came back healthy. And, you know, so I just never really gave it much thought until 2009, when my stomach started hurting and it wasn't getting better. So I started looking for other options. My Chinese medicine doctor started treating me on a regular basis, and I loved him. He was also a really good friend and a parent at the school that my daughters went to. So he started treating me, and then I saw a woman who was also Chinese medicine, but she did muscle testing. And some really good friends of mine, when they heard about my stomach issues, were like, "You should go check her out. She's amazing." And I went and saw her, and she did some muscle testing, and she gave me a bunch of supplements that I started taking, and I felt better for a little while. Like, my stomach stuff kind of calmed down. And so I was like, okay, this is great. But then it just kind of, in 2010, it just surged, where it was like a wildfire had started or had never gone away and just erupted. But if I'm being entirely honest, once it went away, I just kind of went back to my old tricks, you know, eating what I wanted, definitely working out too hard, not considering the internal world of my body and only considering the external part of my body. It's like, okay, I look good, my hair, my skin, okay, we're good. So when the inflammation really began to take over, I realized it was different. It felt different and it felt scary. It felt like something that I suddenly couldn't control. And the woman I was seeing who was doing the muscle testing, she kept giving me different herbs and she kept giving me different supplements and telling me to eat this and take this out. And she was really grasping. And, then she was like, "You're supposed to be a healer." And I was like, "Okay, no." And she's like, "I'm offering this course where you can learn how to muscle test." And so I signed up for it, but I was in such excruciating pain. And it was weird. It was almost got to a point where I felt like it was not easy for her to look at me because she wasn't actually helping me and she wasn't able to help me. And at a certain point she was like, you want to be sick. And that's when I was like, okay, time out.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, yeah. And even subconsciously, I mean, do you identify with that at all?
So I really went deep on it because I was like, this is obviously not just a physical journey. I'm supposed to go through hell for a reason. And so I have to lift up every rock and look under it and see what I find. And I really dug as deep as I could. And I came back with just, no, I don't want to be sick. Like, I really don't want to be sick. But I have to say that years and years later of, you know, being healthy and having healed, I go back and I look at the time and I go, okay, she wasn't right, but she wasn't wrong either. Mm. I wasn't a custodian of my health. I didn't take my health seriously. So it wasn't so much that I was like, oh, I want to be sick. It was like, I don't know how to be well. You know, I don't know how to be well. How actually, and once you're sick, how do you get better? Like, I was disconnected from I was so used to things going away that I don't think I actually took a step back and looked at the bigger picture of what I had been doing to my body for 34 years. So.
And when were you properly diagnosed?
I would say that was close to around 2011, somewhere in there.
Oh, so you went 2 years without knowing really what was happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of excruciating pain.
Oh, and by the way, all my blood work came back healthy. There was nothing in my blood work that would have suggested an autoimmune disorder. And so we kept looking for parasites. I did a lot of antibiotics every time because in my mind I went, oh, an antibiotic. Yeah, I grew up not taking them and my parents didn't believe in them. But if I can make this pain go away by taking an antibiotic, is it that bad? Was the way I would rationalize it, you know? And so they would give me these gnarly antibiotics because they're like, well, your stool is coming back clear, but maybe there's something there that we're not picking up. So it's worth a try, right? Because there was no inflammatory markers showing up. So I did these, you know, many rounds of antibiotics and it was kind of the point of no return because my downward spiral just became constant. And nothing was able to right my wagon at that point.
It didn't. So you think the antibiotics threw you in deeper then?
Oh, 100%.
Wow. Okay.
100%. Yeah.
On my personal journey too, it's interesting because before I worked with, I think as the brother of the acupuncturist you worked with, I had a chemical pregnancy the first time we tried to get pregnant. And I just I said, oh, you know, it's my endocrine issues. I'm not going to keep a baby. So I'm just going to go into full blown, the best acupuncture treatment, and fascinatingly enough, kind of like your antibiotic journey, because they use herbs that pumped my hormones up so much, making me such an overproducer of hormones, I do believe that had I just stayed the course, you know, and kind of like done a few things, I would be like on kid number two now. But because I became such an overproducer, which we'll talk about soon, I do think that threw me into like the deep, deep end.
Oh man. And that's so intense, because at the time when you're making decisions about things, you're going, okay, yeah, let's do this. Okay. Yeah. And then if I look back, I don't know about you, but for me, what was driving my yes to things that I shouldn't have said yes, no, was this great insecurity that I didn't know what was going on. And you know,
what were your greatest fears at that point? Cause I know for me, my mind always goes to, I have cancer. Which is not a laughing matter for sure for most people. So I want to be sensitive, but that really is, because when I was young, I witnessed multiple family members die so young from cancer. So it's like, that's always my go-to. It's undiagnosed cancer in my body.
That's such a scary thing because of your history of seeing that happen in your family. And also just because it's an Easter egg hunt. It's trying to find out what's wrong, right?
Exactly.
And where is it? And you know, and I did all of that. I went through all of the ultrasounds. I went through the, you know, the CT scans. I did everything looking for the issue, since it wasn't showing up. So my greatest fears, was that it was incurable, to be honest.
Wow. Yeah.
That I was going to die from horrendous pain, because I was in such horrible pain that my greatest fear was they're going to find something that's incurable. And then I don't get to live out the rest of my life.
And when you were properly diagnosed, it was Crohn's.
Yes. And he was like, you have severe Crohn's. And I was relieved, because I was like,
you're like, finally, there's an answer.
Yeah. Well, at first, for the longest time, I kept canceling my colonoscopy because A, going under is scary. And B, somebody, you know, the anal probe does not sound like an awesome experience.
Like a walk in the park, for sure.
And on top of that, because they didn't know what the issue was, they wanted to do an endoscopy. You know, they wanted to put a camera down my throat and a camera. So I was just like, they're piping. You know, they're
like, completely. Completely.
Horrible. So I canceled a few times. And I canceled a few times because I was actually scared of the diagnosis. I was scared of going under, but I was scared of what they were going to find. And that whole idea of having something that you can't cure was a driving factor for me. And there was a part of me that was like, maybe I just don't want to know. And maybe if I give it a name, I give it power. And I would cycle through, you know, this fear talk. Finally, I just decided, I just need to know. I just need to know. And if it is something that I can't cure, then I'm going to figure out a way to live a really good life for the rest of whatever that is. And if it is, then I can start working on it in a meaningful way. So when I woke up and they told me Crohn's, and I was like, I don't even know what Crohn's is.
And for the listener, what is that? Who doesn't know?
It's inflammation in the small intestines, basically. They categorize it as an autoimmune disorder that your body is attacking itself. And mine was in a pretty classic area around the ileocecal area valve. And so it was classic. It was like, oh, you have classic Crohn's. And I was like, oh, well, that's delightful. And I asked him, you know, and is it curable? And he goes, no. And is there anything you can give me? And he's like, well, it's a process. You know, you might have up to 8 surgeries in your lifetime. We don't know which medication is going to help you, if at all. And, you know, you'll just begin the process. And I recommend that you begin it right away. And you will be, once you find the medication that works, you'll be on it for the rest of your life. So I was pretty bummed. And also at the same time, I felt free, because suddenly I realized that I was dealing with a hypothesis. I wasn't dealing with, you know, okay, this is a life sentence, because it doesn't have to be. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't at times. At times I wanted to believe it, because I went to doctor after doctor, A, looking for a different, you know, prognosis, like, okay, what is my treatment plan? And every single doctor I went to gave me the exact same treatment plan.
Wow. And that was functional and allopathic?
No, functional wasn't as available at the time. You know, for me, like, I couldn't find any functional GIs at the time. So all of the GIs I went to were like this is your path. Well, what about diet? No, you can cut out gluten and dairy. Oh, gluten and dairy. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then you can go on the low, you know, the low carb diet. What is it? The low residue diet. And, you know, so there were a few things that they were like, you can try. Some people, it kind of helps, but nothing really helps. But yet still, I found myself going, okay, every single doctor I went to, and I went to UCLA, I went to Cedars-Sinai, and then to all the surrounding doctors around those hospitals, and everyone gave me the exact same plan, like, this is what you're going to do. So at that point, after I did the research on all the medications they were telling me about, and all of them suppressing my immune system, I was like, that can't be a thing that you want to do. Right? Like, you don't want to actually suppress your immune system, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't think so. That's for sure.
Is my body attacking me, or is it attacking something in me? And is it actually trying to protect me? Those were all of the, you know, questions that started to cycle through my brain. So I decided, okay, I'm going to put the medical option on the back burner, and I'm really going to focus on diet and lifestyle. And that's when the exploration began. And that was a long exploration that in total was, you know, the majority of my journey, which was left, if you will, untreated, because I was doing all of these diets and I was in horrendous pain. I mean, yeah. I was.
Tell us all of your physical symptoms, physical, mental, everything during the worst of your time of sickness.
So physical was horrible pain. And so what happens when you're really inflamed in your digestive tract, small intestine, is that it radiates up to your back, shoulder, neck. So I had not just gut pain, and I looked like I was 6 months pregnant all the time. My bloating and inflammation never went down. It was always, you know, there were times when I hadn't eaten for a few days, and then finally it would look concave, you know, go the opposite way. It was just like nothing there. Yeah. And it wasn't, I mean, oh yes. And the death farts were insane.
Oh gosh.
So embarrassing. And literally it was like somebody had died. It was like I had died. It was really horrible.
Your poor husband.
And embarrassing. Oh yeah. Let's not even go there. Like that man.
He's really been so solid. I mean, we can talk about that in a minute, but continue with your symptoms.
Yeah. So the death farts were really sexy. So you have to remember I was young and I cared a lot about the way I looked, because everything up to that point had been, do I look good? Do I feel sexy? You know, not feel like in my body, but like in my clothes. Right. And does my skin and does my hair look good? And okay, then I'm good. So to suddenly have my insides really express kind of the ugly truth, which was I didn't feel like any of those things, even if I felt like those things on the outside. And, you know, so death farts and bloating and suddenly skin rashes, like I just get patches of skin that was rashed and white and red and flaky and, you know, like eczema all over my body. And then after a couple of years of being sick, I started getting really bad arthritis in my hands and in my feet, where it was so painful that they would go into like a full cramp and they wouldn't release.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And hair falling out all the time. My hair was just like in a constant state of shed, and it was just getting so thin, and my gums would bleed, and and the joy of constantly running to the bathroom all the time, not knowing if you're gonna vomit or poop on the floor, and in a state of you know, pain all the time. I remember I'd be running to the bathroom going, wait, which one goes where? Wait.
Yeah, like flu status when people have that full blown, all ends are clearing out.
Like dysentery or something. But it was like that all the time. For years it was like that. I mean, you know, I joke in my book that my favorite transportation was train, because the bath, the toilet, and the sink are so close to each other that you can actually do both at the same time.
Wow. Jeez.
And it's horrible, but
no, I feel so much pain for the depth of where you were. I mean, because my mom has Crohn's and colitis, and she has followed the regular allopathic protocol, which has done nothing, obviously, to help her. You know, it continues, I think, to get worse and worse. But I've never seen her go through all of this. And you were going through it, you know, trying to find the cure and the answer. And so you dealt with the absolute depths of this.
Yeah, it was as painful and as, like, I definitely never want to revisit that place. And I will absolutely live my life dedicated to health for the rest of my life, for my body. You know, I now understand that what real health is, and real health isn't how I look on the outside. That's just my vanity, and that's beautiful, and I love it, and it's great. But I'm never going to put my body through, you know, the things that I want for my vanity versus what it actually needs. Like, that's never going to happen ever again. So I'm definitely way more than I've ever weighed, and I love it. I feel sturdy. I mean,
on the protocol, my face is really filled out, and I actually really kind of like it. It's like back to my early 20s. So it's like a chipmunk, but it looks so glowing and vibrant and beautiful. I'm like, this is awesome.
You know, like a chipmunk, first of all.
Well, then how did you actually discover Karen's work? I mean, because you went through this for years, trying so many things, naturopath, acupuncture, Ayurveda, all the stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, and then at a certain point it was like fermented, and I went down the full fermented path, and that it just ruined me. So I couldn't really do anything. And all the testing that I did ultimately came back that all the foods that I'd been eating when I was sick, I became allergic to, because my gut was so inflamed. All the food proteins that I were eating were just going directly into my bloodstream and causing, you know, kind of false allergies, but still allergies nonetheless, because my body would just be covered in hives. And what I ate never stayed in for very long. It was like it went in and would come out right away, immediately. So I wasn't getting any nutrients. I was literally starving to death for years. And so when I did, so I wasn't very social. And when I did see people, a lot of times if they didn't know me, I wouldn't tell them I was sick, because I suddenly realized that my life had become one degree of my illness conversation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And right. And then you're basically just stuck in a circle of like this conversation where that's, when people know you're sick, they want to know how you are, and, you know, and then what you're doing. And then, you know, when you say, oh yeah, I'm denying all treatment currently to suffer and try to eat my way to health, they look at you like you're crazy. You know, like, what? Take the medication. Like, what are you thinking? And I just got to a point where I was like, I'm not telling anybody what I'm doing. And the people who know, they know. But when I met somebody new, I wouldn't talk about it at all.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I try not to bring it up, because it's just, and then you have to go all the way down the road. And then it's like, do they think you're crazy? All that stuff.
And it becomes a limiting conversation, and one that you feel like you're looking for them to validate your choice. And 99% of the time, nobody's going to do that. So it was really, for me, I was living outside the lines, and I became okay with that. The suffering was the hardest part, and the impact it had on my family. And obviously the suffering just period was horrible. I watched everything on Netflix because I was awake for 22 hours every day. And everything hurt all the time. Like it was just relentless and horrible. And I'm still thankful to this day that my girls were so young that they don't remember that the majority of our time together was spent in my bed.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And how were they processing this? You know, as young girls, they were just getting into their adolescence, and how were they holding up through this all? I mean, because there were points where you were just sleeping 2 hours a night. You were just not even functioning. So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money.
But the real gem is the Pathway membership because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the Pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
And again, Will was amazing. He just stepped up and he was working full time. And I was still, by the way, working full time. I refused to stop working. I was like, no, I'm still working. And he's like, you might need to stop working. And I was like, no, I'm working. Because I felt like, you know, I really needed to have like that going for myself. And I also felt like it kept me alive, to be honest. I felt like having something I had to get up for, even though a lot of times, probably sometimes 3 weeks out of a month, I would work from bed. You know, I would just be in bed working where I couldn't actually get up and go on a shoot or go on production. I just stayed exactly where I was. And the company I was working for at the time, they were amazing. They were like, do what you got to do. So, but yeah, so he, like Will really stepped up. They created such an amazing bond with him over that time because he would get up, he would get them ready for school. He would take them to school. He would then go to work. And I would have the day to kind of hobble around the house and, you know, or just sob. Like I just spent a lot of time crying because I felt so hopeless. And I felt like, you know, it's hard to think that something's going to work when you're suffering that badly. And looking at yourself in the mirror and you don't even see the person that you know anymore. A lot of times I was like, you're crazy for doing this. You know, you should just cut it out and cover it up. You know, you should just go for it. And every time I got close to doing that, I would go, okay, I'm going to try something else first, or I'm going to try this first. And honestly, when my friend dropped off Karen's book at my house, I didn't even go out to meet her. I was so sick at the time that I was at the end of my journey at that point. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to book the appointments and get on the medications and begin the journey. You know, I'm done. I can't handle anymore. My body can't handle anymore. And it's not fair to my family. And, you know, I was at the point where I was so sick that you couldn't touch me. My skin was so sensitive that it would literally feel like you punched me if you just touched me. It felt like the weight of your hand, it actually, I couldn't tolerate it. And I would play a game, like trying to bear it. I'd be like, Will would put his hand on my shoulder and I would just literally count to five. I'd be like, okay, can you move your hand? And it was horrible. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I've made everybody, including myself, suffer enough. And this is just not going to happen naturally. And I felt horrible about that. And I felt so defeated because I believed so strongly in my body's ability to heal. And to not have that be the case based off all of these anti-inflammatory diets and everything, I just was like, why not me? Why am I the only one this isn't working for? So my friend was like, hey, I got this book and I'm going to drop it off at your house. And
what I want to know is, Karen is so obscure, right? Like if you had never told me about her, I mean, even in the West Coast, you know, she's such an obscure person, doesn't have like a huge online footprint. How did your friend hear about her?
Well, I think it's the way Karen has existed for 20 something years, you know, maybe it's even 30 years now that she's been practicing. It's word of mouth. It's one, like, hey, I know you're really, really desperate. So don't tell anybody I gave this to you, but you know, mm-hmm. It's like this bean diet thing. And you know, it's, you tell somebody that beans are going to heal them and they want to see, you know, all of the scientific evidence, you know, but you tell somebody that a potion is going to heal them and everybody's buying it, right? It's like, hey.
Completely.
But beans, what?
So yeah, I know. And beans have been so demonized in the health world. I mean, deeply, that's why it's extra. It's an extra layer of convincing.
Oh, and people today, you know, oh, lectins, really? It's,
yep.
Yeah. Horrible. And beans are horrible. And, you know, paleo beans are horrible. And I went through the AIP training and it's like, beans bad. And, you know, so at the time, again, for kind of, you know, feeling sexy reasons, beans were not part of the protocol in my life ever because they made me bloated and gassy. And so when I started reading her book, and by the way, I retrieved her book, I threw it against the wall with the might of a skeleton and just left it there for a day. And I finally, because I was just like, I don't know if I can do anything else. Like, I don't know if I have the heart to do anything else. But I couldn't help myself because I was like, well, maybe, maybe this is the one. And I felt that way every time. It was like that hope. And then that just horrible sinking feeling that, again, nothing is going to work because
that's how it's been for me with fertility. Exactly the same.
Oh, and I can imagine how frustrating that's been for you, by the way, like try, and then by the way, doing stuff and it making you worse is has to top the charts of the things that are the worst possible outcomes in the health world.
Completely. I completely agree.
It's like, I trust you to get me to where I need to go. And they're like, I can get you to where you need to go. And then you realize like, I'm actually worse off than I was before this entire journey, you know?
Completely, completely.
And that happened to me so many times too. So I feel you on that. And it's horrible. It's fucking horrible. It really is.
And we feel everybody out there that's listening to this that has dealt with any type of frustrating illness or skin condition or, I mean, anything. It's really rampant in today's society. So I know that this topic can bring a lot of solace and a lot of people can resonate with this because it is so debilitating emotionally, physically, spiritually, all of the things. And that's why this is so important to talk about.
Yeah. And I talk to a lot of people every day in my free consults, especially, and to hear the journeys that people have been on is so humbling. It's, and my heart just goes out to them because you can feel the weight of their journey and they're tired and they are broken and they are just wanting something to work. And I, you know, one of the things that I'm really honest about when people do come to work with me is I'm like, look, I'm not going to promise any quick results. And, you know, but what I can promise you is that I'm going to give you the tools to really help yourself and understand what we need as human beings on just a simple cellular level. Everything else we do on top of this base is extra. But what our body needs is actually really simple. And that was something that Karen taught me. She's like, all of this other stuff that we do, you know, is really extra. Like, it's not, you know, what our body actually needs. Our body needs to be supported through detox, natural detox, because a lot of people do, you know, herbal detoxes, but it might liberate the toxins, but the toxins need somewhere to go.
Yeah. Or they do the juice cleanses and the whatever, and it's the same exact thing.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're stimulating the liver to release toxins, but where are those toxins going? Where are they
completely
going? How are they getting out of your body? So everything she said to me when I booked an appointment with her.
Well, yeah, you hurled the book and then what? You finally, what made you go, okay, I'll do it?
I hurled the book and then I just was like, well, if this is it, then this book deserves my attention. If I'm, you know, this, because this is the last stop basically. And I started reading it and her book was basically all of these testimonies. They were testimonies of people that were broken and sad and hopeless, and she helped them. And I was like, all right, what's the trick here? What's going on? Beans. What? No. No, I can't even eat bread and I can barely drink water and I'm nauseous 24 hours a day and I'm in horrible bent over pain all of the time. Beans? What? Mm-hmm. Huh? Woman? You're crazy. No.
Completely.
Like, so I started eating beans and I started the white diet. And then I booked an appointment with her because at the time I was, like I said, I was working. So coincidentally, my boss got really sick with Crohn's disease and he was really sick. I joke that I was in horrible pain and vomit and diarrhea. And, you know, just, I mean, for those who have gut issues, especially in the Crohn's or colitis department, you know that running to the bathroom is, it should be an Olympic sport. You get so good at just hurling yourself in the direction of any toilet at mass speed, just, you know, to get there so you don't crap your pants. And he had the opposite problem where he was bleeding all the time.
And that's my mom. She oscillates between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. So scary. And I don't know what there is. I think had I been bleeding that whole time, I'm not sure how long I would have held on, but I think there's something about blood that's really scary to me.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, blood is like, whoa, time out. Shit's really serious, you know?
No pun intended.
But, you know, and he was being scheduled for an emergency removal of his colon. And he saw me eating the beans and he's like, so what are you doing for your Crohn's? Because I was like this little emaciated, you know, human being. And he was dropping weight rapidly. And he's this very tall man, you know, healthy man. And here he was just wasting in front of my eyes. And he decided to jump on the diet with me and had never done anything like that. His family was very concerned, understandably.
No, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And most people are to any alternative method, you know, upon a medical diagnosis. So totally understandable.
Oh, it's why I tell my clients today, because they're like, well, how do I tell people about this? I'm like, you don't.
I have that with manifestation. I'm like, I call it manifestation boundaries. If you're quitting your job because it's toxic and it's the move you need to make to magnetize things in, just tell them you're still at your job. I don't give a shit what you tell them, but don't tell people that are going to make you waver.
Yeah. And because it's like, you know, as soon as you give, you open the door for anybody else's opinion, people are really willing to give their opinion about your life anyway. So when you open the door for it, it's not going to be supportive for the most part. Very few people are going to be like, oh, wait, you're eating beans for your Crohn's disease. Awesome. That's amazing. Get it, girl. You know, it's going to be like, crazy. You're crazy.
Totally. The it's so funny. I have a recorded spiel now on my phone that goes into like when I saw the healer that, you know, materialized this supplement out of thin air. And then I had lunch with you 2 days later. And then I started the protocol that you prescribed me. I have to really legitimize every aspect of it. And they're like, first, give me the magic Chinese healer's information, like what that exists on the planet. And two, tell me more about this. But it takes literally a pitch for people to even be like, oh, interesting. Okay, wow. And I have to go through all the science and everything. So I have it recorded because it's so long-winded that I'm like, here, just listen to this.
Amazing, by the way, it's amazing that you recorded it. And when you told me, when we were at lunch and you told me about this, the materializing this pill, what was so funny to me is I immediately just accepted it. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, you definitely. And most, I think most people with our backgrounds in spirituality and stuff are like, oh, for sure. But, you know, like to my dad, who is PS doing this, which is like outrageous to me that that's even possible. But and even my stepmom's partner is doing it as well. And he had like unbelievable IBS, could eat nothing but white rice and chicken. And now he's literally within the last couple of weeks been able to have a sandwich. And he's been doing this now for 2 months, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. But oh. Sorry, continue.
Wait, where was I? I don't even remember because I'm so happy when I hear stories.
With
like
your boss and his family was worried, but he hopped on.
Calls. I think I got a call from his mom, his wife. And I was like, he has to do this. If he's going to live with a, you know, a bag, I think he's got to explore this just to check that box, you know, and he was really dedicated. And it was I have to say, it was a lifesaver for me to have somebody to go through the process with, because when you're crazy on your own, you're just crazy. But when you're crazy with somebody else, it's like, it's really nice, you know, like, hey, how's the beans going? Oh, it's really hard to eat today. They taste like cardboard. I know, me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it helping? And And like I said, in a lot of ways, I considered him worse off than me because of the bleeding, but he actually went into remission so much quicker than I did.
Wow. And how long did it take him?
I think for him, it was, you know, in the 6-7 month category of time. And for me, it was a year and a half. And, you know, Karen had been pretty honest with me. She was like, I've seen this work quick. I've seen this take a while, and you know, it just keep going. And that's what I did, because I started calling things little victories. So a little victory for me, knowing that I was headed in the right direction, and it was different from any of the protocols I'd been on prior, was I had an hour out of pain, then I had 2 hours out of pain, and then I had 3 hours out of pain. And then I had one less bowel movement. So if I was having 10 bowel movements a day, I would have 9. And then I would add 7. And then whenever I ovulated and had a period, a cycle, I would have a massive flare again. And so in the beginning, I would only have one good week a month because of ovulation and cycle. So, and that was progress. I was like, oh, this is progress. I have one good week a month now. So how do I begin to slowly whittle away at the inflammatory, for me, the ovulation and cycle were very inflammatory. Like everything just went up in flames, no matter how good that week prior would start to get and the pain would be less, suddenly ovulation would hit and it was a wildfire again. And I'd be running to the bathroom and I'd be back on the white diet. I went back to the white diet so many times just to get through some of the most painful flares that I would have. And I just didn't stop. You know, I was like, this is my mountain. And I've tried to get around it and I've tried to take a shortcut and I can't. So now I'm taking my mountain and I'm not going to stop until I get what I want. And it wasn't always easy. There was a lot of points along the way where I just was like, is this going to work? And, you know, Karen would say, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. And I'd pop up on her schedule a week later.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah.
I was just like, I just need to talk to you about it. I just need to talk to you about how scared I am. And I just need to talk to you about, you know, whatever it was. Like, I just needed that point of reference. And I had my boss to go through it with as well. But it was like, she really was a guiding light for me. And and I was so surprised when my boss went into remission first, because I thought, oh, he's going to take a while and I'll be quick because I'm not bleeding and, you know, all of this stuff. And no, it was a long process for me. And by the time I went into remission, my hair was so thin and my skin was so, you know, bruised and covered in rashes. And I was like, well, maybe I'll never get those things back. And honestly, the other thing that I really want to stress is that I wasn't even aiming for total remission. I had decided that I would be good eating an abbreviated diet if I could just be out of pain. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in pain anymore.
That makes total sense to me. And I've had many of those times of currency discussions, like what I'm willing to give for what I'm willing to get, you know, with myself as well. And now, you know, based off of seeing your results, and I'm seeing so many people in the Facebook groups results and stuff, I'm like, oh no, I'm going to actually, like, my adrenals, it's not just about getting pregnant, like my adrenals will fully heal from this.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the results of doing this very simple, very unintuitive diet has been profound. And I've seen it so many times around me. It's been phenomenal, to be honest. I would have never dreamed up a diet like this in a million years. So I'm really, really, really thankful that Karen did.
And when you did actually go into remission, you know, what actually, because at this point, I mean, you look at you, you're in perfect health. You have nothing left of it all, your skin, your hormones, your hair, you have it all, you know, I think that's what I've interpreted, that you're totally back to homeostasis, more energy than ever, deep sleep, all that good stuff. When did you start to see the bigger shifts happening? How long did it take you? Because I think something really important, I call it the protocol, which is obscene. I think I've made that up now. I think, yeah, that I've totally made that up, and I'm glad that you're saying it's a diet.
It is a protocol. It's absolutely a protocol, because actually diet wouldn't be the correct term for how I view it. I view it as a lifestyle. And for
total
anybody
lifestyle.
Struggling with any health issues, it's kind of a lifestyle for life, to be honest.
And when did you, because it's 3 month mitosis, to my understanding, that you see the bigger shifts. So you'll see some at 3 months, 6 months, you can see some weekly and blah, blah, blah. But those are the big overhauls. At what point for you did you start to see external reflecting internal?
I would say for me, it was closer to the 24 mark. 24
okay.
Mark. Yeah. The year mark was amazing for me because I was like, well, I'm like 90%, you know, like I would still have little flares around cycles sometimes, but man, I was living. I was out of pain most 90% of the time. And I didn't sleep still because I had to retrain myself. I had to sleep train myself again because my body had been in such a adrenaline driven state for such a long time that it was almost like PTSD for my body, where I would go, I'd go to bed tired. And then 5 minutes later, I'd wake up for the rest of the night.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was horrible because I'd be awake without pain. And I was like,
now it's just, yeah, bummer.
Yeah, this is not going to work. My boss at the time had lent me a meditation tape and I would just listen to it and it would help. Like I would wake up feeling relaxed or not wake up, but I'd start my day feeling relaxed, but not rested. So sleep training myself was a big one. And once I did the sleep training for myself, I did that just by creating a bedtime routine, whether it was a bath, like a magnesium bath or something, turning down lights, and then just going to bed as soon as I was tired, not giving a shit what was going on in the house. I'm like, I'm going to bed, you know, and I would just go because I knew that if I caught the dip in my melatonin, when that melatonin came in, if I could ride that, it would be better for me. So I started really listening to myself. And then I also chose, which became an interesting thing for me. I had a choice. Am I going to be a night person or am I going to be a morning person? Because I'm sleep training myself. I actually get to choose what I'm going to be. And I chose to be a morning person because when I was sick, the sun rising was an emblem of hope for me that I had another day, that I'd survived another night and I had another day to work on my health. So, but yeah, it was probably the 24 month mark that I started seeing hair and skin and arthritis went away around the 18 month mark, I think.
Wow. So it really did take such a significant amount of time. I imagine too, that the sleep played a big role in it taking longer than it possibly would have.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And I think, you know, I was so surprised that I was a slow healer and my body just, it was slow. And I have a lot of clients now where some of them within a month, they're having so many amazing transformations and then others will see theirs right as they begin to stop. And then others at the end of my 8 weeks have any major breakthroughs. And then if they keep going, I'm like, it's kind of, you just got to keep going. Cause like you said, and I say this also upfront, I'm very honest. I'm like upfront. Hormonal stuff is more like the 3 month mark because of mitosis, 6 month mark. It can be longer. It's not a diet that you jump in and jump off on and expect that it's going to change your life. It's kind of walking into a way of living and a way of life and a way of eating really.
Completely. And so then at the depths of your sickness, you had a moment where you said, if I make it through this on the other side, I'm going to become a nutritionist who can help others because I never want somebody to feel as lonely and as sick as I did. And you went on to do that. You took years to go on to do that after healing.
I did. And it was actually kind of an interesting way back there because I'm a very spiritual person, not highly religious person at all. But since I was a little girl, I always made deals with God. I was like, if you, I will. Mm-hmm. And I'd never been good at holding my end of the bargain. And believe it or not, a lot of the, if you would happen, but then I'd be like, oh, I mean, you don't care if I, right. And so when I made that promise out loud, and I don't even know who I was talking to. We have this little loft and I was sitting up there, you know, trying not to wake anybody up, listening to shows and rocking back and forth in horrible pain. And I just said out loud, if I do this, if I'm able to do this, if I get better naturally, I will help other people do the same. And I will give it back for the rest of my life. And because finding Karen was a needle in a haystack. And I mean, it just was meant to be, is how I have to see it now, because I would have never found her book in a million years. And I searched the internet 6 ways from Sunday on all things Crohn's, natural healing Crohn's, diet for Crohn's, you name it, inflammation, this, you know, it was just, and her book never came up. So for me, it was also the mission of, I'm going to write a book about my story, and I'm going to do as much as I can to help people find this, because it's a viable option. And it's not going to be for everybody. I don't believe that there's one path for everybody. We're too individual for that, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We're all on our journey, but it's such an amazing option, you know?
I agree. I absolutely agree.
So yeah, I did. I went back to school. I started researching, and I did coaching for a year, and then I did 2 years for nutrition.
And so tell us about the practice now, because what I like and so much, right? When I saw you and you told me about this, I said, let's have a call on Monday. I want to start this right away. And you did. And we had that session and you gave me the protocol. And I ended up having a session with Karen as well, just to see, like, is there deeper science, like more of that, you know, she gets into. And then since you and I have worked together the most closely, and what I love about your process, because you went through this firsthand, everything, and that's why it's so important to have talked about everything, is that I'm able to have weekly check-ins with you, just as you needed somebody. I mean, you'll hear me, I'll be like, these 3 things are better, but then this happened and it feels like a back step. But because I've been able to communicate with you the whole time and you knowing everything firsthand, you're able to hold my hand through the hope. And then when I have like the major step forwards, I'm able to be like, oh my God, can you believe? So that's what's been so helpful. I don't even think, of course I would have stayed on this, but had I have had one session with you and that's it, it would have been a lot harder to navigate. It's actually been really brilliant for our company, because all the things that I wish existed on the internet while doing this protocol, we're creating. So it's like, we're doing this whole launch in January called The Motivation, where we're pulling together the thousands of testimonials we've received so that anybody can access them with whatever they're trying to manifest. Because when you're in the thick of it, you're like, I just need to hear somebody else's story to keep me going, to know that I'm going to have this too. You know, there's that. And so that's what I've loved about being able to have these weekly sessions or access or check-in points with you. And that's where I find you to be astoundingly valuable. Of course, you know this and you're helping people, but the fact that you're so compassionate, you're so accessible, I think it's vital while doing this process.
Thank you. When I started a practice, I really thought about what am I going to do? And, you know, in school, I was taught all of the different diets and lifestyles and to be healthy and all of that stuff. And, you know, and then I did additional training for AIP certifications. But really, for me, this protocol is the one that I, you know, see the most results for anybody, period. So it's really the one that I work with and make available for anybody who comes my way, because I love it. It's near and dear to my heart. And I've seen the results again and again and again. And long before I was ever, you know, a health care practitioner and working with diet and lifestyle, I would send people to Karen, and I would also coach them on the side, and they would work with her primarily, and then I would work with them in the day-to-day or the week-to-week. And believe it or not, some people I talk to every day.
That's incredible. I mean, some people need that support when they're at the depths of what you were at.
So I've had experience not just with myself, but for a lot longer than I've actually been practicing, I've been coaching. And, you know, and coaching them through kind of the nature of healing. And I think, to me, that's the beautiful, amazing part of the human body, is the fact that it can heal on a cellular level.
It's mind blowing. And I actually believe it again because of this.
Yeah. It's, I mean, Lacey, I've seen a boy come home from college, not be able to leave his bed, had to drop out of college. And he found my book. Actually, a doctor friend of mine gave him, this family friend of his that whose son was sick, gave them my book. They read the book. He read the book. he called me and immediately started the protocol. And this was a boy who was emaciated and being, you know, having been fed through a tube and just couldn't live life at all. I watched this boy play tennis 3 to 6 months later.
Wow. And tell us about some of the success stories, because that is truly what keeps me going. I have to know, even if it's not a condition that I'm directly dealing with, because this protocol or this protocol, I will say lifestyle protocol is, so it's just a couple of things tailored differently to different circumstances, but overall it's pretty much the same thing. So it's applicable to every single sort of illness, you know, kind of under the sun-ish, both preventative and most to help during. What have been some of the profound stories that you've heard along the way or you've experienced firsthand within your practice?
It's been, I mean, it's been really amazing. I've seen people who are overweight, fatty liver, Crohn's disease, horrible prognosis, you know, diabetes, literally lose 30 pounds on this protocol. Because the biggest concern with people is like, oh, it's a lot of carbs and, you know, all, and the beans. And it's amazing that you can actually be on this protocol and not gain weight. You know, it's amazing how many of my clients come to me. One of my favorite recent breakthroughs was a woman who came to me and, you know, having menopause issues and not being able to lose menopause weight, but carrying around an extra 15 pounds, skin inflamed, digestion totally out of whack, definitely, you know, IBD. And within, you know, 8 weeks, she was having major breakthroughs. Her gut was calmed down. Her skin was calming down. And to me, I was like, whoa, what is happening? This is so quick, you know? And to me, what it also said is, A, people heal at a different rate.
Yeah.
And she also, you know, had anger issues that she was dealing with. And she found that her anger issues, she was a lot more patient. It was amazing. It was really amazing.
And tell us about cofactors, because many people have intuited at this point that a big part of the diet that helps heal is, well, tell us about that, the beans and why they help us heal. But I love your take on cofactors is really exciting to me.
What I love about beans is that beyond providing soluble fiber, which is so important to our aiding our liver and detoxifying our body, is the fact that they have all of these cofactors in them and vitamins and minerals. And those are the cofactors of our health, right? So we eat vegetables and we eat protein and we eat all of these foods for their mineral and vitamin content. And it's what supplements are trying to give us. But the where I see the value of eating a whole food and getting it from, you have everything together, and it's how our body interacts with cleaving nutrients. So for me, replacing psyllium husk with beans is great traveling or in a pinch, but in general, it's so much better to eat the whole bean because it's coming with all of those cofactors that it's all information for your body that your body uses, right? So it uses so many different things to support hormonal health and energy and hair and eyes. And so it's, to me, a vitamin is, if you're not eating the most well-rounded diet, a vitamin can help boost you, but it shouldn't ever take the place of eating a really well-rounded diet. And I think the other thing that the misconception I was under when I was young is that I could eat one, you know, a couple healthy meals and that would be good, versus the reality is that we actually need to eat multiple times a day all of the nutrients that our body needs to function and give us the homeostasis that we seek. So it's not just like, oh, have one healthy meal and then have these other things that you want. It's multiple times a day giving your body the information it needs to support you having an amazing life, feel good in your body, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and function properly. And as women, we have so many things that can go wrong with hormones and, you know, cycles and you name it. So having the proper nutrients in your body is so important. And beans, oh, I love beans. And that's coming from a person who did not love beans at all. So I say beans are the trash man. So imagine you wake up at night, you put your trash out, and you go to sleep and then you wake up and the trash is back in the house. That's the equivalent of what happens to the body when you don't have soluble fiber. So the liver processes all of the blood and in it extra hormones and toxins, and it filters it, tucks it in the bile to be pooped out. But if there's no, and obviously it's used to help us break down our food and everything, you know, it's multi-purposed, which is also amazing. The human body is truly amazing to me. I have such an amazing reverence for it. And it's complicated and simple and beautiful. So, you know, if it goes into the digestive tract and there's no soluble fiber, then it gets recycled. And our body is an amazing recycler. So it'll keep doing that until that, you know, the bile just becomes sludge and the body is inflamed. And so really that soluble fiber getting into the digestive tract without any other fats attached to it, it will bind with the bile and then you poop out the trash. And I just imagine in my head, my liver going, thank you. I was so tired of cleaning the same shit all the time. Like, thank you so much for helping me get rid of the trash. So, so that's the genius of beans and soluble fiber in general. For people who can't tolerate beans because they can be more challenging to digest, soluble fiber is a great option, but it's definitely lacking all of the nutrients, the additional nutrients that our body needs.
And tell me, you are my biggest expander, because when I saw that Chinese healer who told me you have to stop all supplements right now, and it was obviously only kismet that we saw each other 2 days later, I think it was, or even a day later. And I was like, oh my gosh, Unique, but I have the MTHFR. And you said, I don't take any supplements, nothing. I'll sometimes supplement very, you know, intermittently if there's something I feel I need just for a little bit, or I'll explore things, but you're not on regular supplements. And you said, I have the MTHFR and so does my daughter. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So when I had all that testing done when I was sick and they were like, oh, you have the MTHFR gene and, you know, here's all the possible health issues and side effects of having this. And I remember freaking out. And that was a period when I was on thousands and thousands of dollars of supplements. And it would be one thing if the story was I took all those supplements and I healed. But the reality was I took all those supplements and I continued to feel worse. And my spiral continued, you know, downward. So one of the things that I really, and, you know, and all of the probiotics are so expensive. And what I learned later was that, you know, they're transient. You take them in and you're pooping them right out. Especially if you have a gut full of inflammation, they're not even hanging out in there a little while. They're just, you know, destroyed, and I was wasting money, but nobody told me that at the time. So the MTHFR, you know, I was taking B12 shots and all of these different things that they said that I needed to support this pathway. And what I loved about going on Karen's protocol, she was just like, trash everything. And I was like, thank you.
I know. Oh my God. Packing to travel now is like a godsend. It's amazing.
And I honestly, I had no idea how inflammatory supplements can be. And I recently posted, you know, that the holistic world leans on supplements, like the medical world leans on prescriptions. And it's really unfortunate because we should supplement as consciously as we do anything. And it shouldn't just be you open up a cabinet and you have 500 supplements that you're supposed to take for longevity of health. And when in reality, eat top shelf. If you're going to spend money on the best quality ingredients. And, you know, nut butters are expensive, but they're so important to supporting healthy hormonal functions. And, you know,
with salt.
Yeah. I mean, I eat literally a cup and a half every day of nut butter.
And I've been doing it too, with nuts mostly, but yeah, the nut butter as well.
Yeah. And it's so, and if somebody would have said that to me, my younger self would have been like, no way am I eating all that fat. Like, you're insane. And now I can't imagine a day going by without eating all that fat.
I know. It's incredible. It's all my skin. I mean, my skin just glows because of it. It's unreal.
And that's what I've seen with women. I have a lot of very sick women coming off of the medical medium. And obviously the medical medium has been amazing and it's done such an amazing thing for people. And I have incredible reverence for anybody in the natural space that is helping people, because we have so many sick people and it's so sad and terrifying to be a sick person. So I'm really thankful to everybody, but for some people, not everything works. And I am getting these women with skin stuff and hormonal issues and a little bit of fat. They're just like, whoa, my skin is glowing. And, you know, my hair looks really good. And it's amazing to watch the transformation of fat. Fat's not a villain. It's essential to our human health.
And I think the right fat is the most important part. Tell us about your book, because you have your book, your coaching now, you're walking people, literally holding their hands. I think it's the most valuable thing, no matter which way you try to interact with this. May it be you do a session with Karen, you know, because you have online workshops as well. So tell us about each of those things.
So yes, when I was in school getting my nutrition degree, simultaneously, I was writing my book, Your Taste Buds Are Assholes. And honestly, I didn't know what helping other people was going to look like. Because in my journey, a lot of the healing diets that worked for other people didn't work for me. So I was like, I have to work with a protocol that I believe in. And this, you know, hands down is a protocol that I stand behind and stand with and love working with. And so I realized that if I did have a practice, that it was probably going to revolve around this protocol of eating beans as a way to support detox, eating protein as a way to support the body on a cellular level, and eating fats to support hormones and all of that. So I was like, okay, I can only do what I truly believe in. At this point in my life, I'm unwilling to be anything other than authentic. And I knew that. But at the time when I was in school, I didn't know what that was going to look like, because I was literally learning how to use supplements and this protocol and that protocol. And it was really over that period of time that I was like, wow, there's so many protocols and there's so many supplements. Like, this is amazing. And for a moment I was even starry eyed, like, wow. And then I was like, whoa, no. Like, you're good. Cause I was really tempted to start buying supplements for myself.
Right.
In school, right? And I was like, no, we're good. So I hold the coast. But anyway, the book, I really wrote it thinking that that was going to be my contribution to giving back. I thought, I'm going to talk about my experience. I'm going to talk about the trials and tribulations of my autoimmune disorder and trying to, you know, put it into remission naturally. And I'm going to put this book out in the world and just let people know who's suffering that there's hope for them. Like, don't lose hope. Keep looking for your personal needle in the haystack. Like, it's going to be there. And your body is amazing. And it has the amazing capacity to heal. And I just wanted to get that message out. And it was crazy because I was working, writing a book and in school. So it was bonkers, but I was so excited to get it out. And the title I ended up with was Your Taste Buds Are Assholes, because I felt like I had definitely eaten my way, but also lived my way into disease. And I was 100% responsible for it at the end of the day. Now I'm creating an 8-week gut reset. It's general for those who are dealing with super intense gut issues or long-term issues. I still recommend that they set up personal consultations. But I wanted to create something for the person who's just been dealing with transient stomach issues for a long time and digestive issues, because it's actually just a few shifts can go a long way. And in my practice, I've seen that happen where people who come to me and they're like, I'm kind of sick, I'm kind of well. And honestly, I would have love to have found a protocol like this when I was in that place, because I was in that place for a long time where I wasn't sick, but I wasn't well. And my digestion worked some of the time, not all of the time. I had acid reflux a lot. I'm really excited about this course, and it's exciting for me and very personal also.
And for the person who's just curious about working with you, how do you suggest the best way of going about that is?
Oh, I love my complimentary consultations. They're one of my favorite. I keep an open calendar currently. I don't know if I'll always have that available, but I currently have an open calendar. So I never know who I'm going to be talking to until the morning I wake up and look at my schedule. And I love it. It's so exciting and fun. And I'm meeting such amazing people. And Lacey, I just have to tell you how thankful I am for you and to work with you. And your community is so amazing. I mean, I'm getting all of these healthy people that are well versed in the health world and the different healing modalities. And they're some of the most amazing people, but they're some of the most frustrated because they're like, I've tried everything. How is it possible that this is going to, you
know? Completely. I've been there. I understand that so well. Tell me, and we'll end on this note, about the correlation you're seeing between like being unblocked in manifestation and unblocked in your gut.
Oh, that has been amazing. So, and so unexpected because I hadn't really even thought about it, but as I'm working with some of your community who are having gut issues, they're the ones who have been bringing it up. They're like, have you ever had this where as soon as your gut gets solid that you begin to manifest? And I was like, I've only recently started hearing this, but it makes so much sense if you think about, you know, where your chakras are and the energy that you hold in different parts of your body, right? Manifestation is the ability to access additional information and energy and to move through different issues. So part of the healing of the gut, they're moving through emotional issues for a lot of women, especially. So adding protein and fat and beans in is very triggering. And that heavy feeling, because immediately it starts to ground you, right? And for us women, we like to feel light and thin and, you know, airy. And to suddenly be grounded is very emotional. It brings up a lot of issues, I've discovered.
And I agree.
Yeah, right? Where it's like, I'm bloated. Does that mean I've gained 5 pounds? And oh my God, I can't gain any weight. And, you know, and it does go back to the kind of the world we're living in, where beauty is and the way we look is so important, that there's so little value put on how we feel as long as you look good. And a lot of the coaching I do in the first month actually is just working through a lot of those emotions that come up and insecurities that come up and detox symptoms, right? Because you can have breakouts, and that's emotional to have a breakout on your face. And so it's working through those things. And then it's amazing to see that, you know, they're doing your pathway work, and suddenly things on their list, as their energy goes from being put into their illness or their imbalance in their gut or in their hormones, as that energy begins to lift, that energy becomes available for them to manifest with. And
I love that. It makes so much sense to me. I never had thought of that, but it makes the world of sense.
Yeah, because if you think about it, when you're imbalanced, you're, like we talked about before, you're always 1 degree of that conversation.
Completely. And your energy levels aren't sustainable. I mean, there's just so much there that you're not projecting at your truest, most authentic self.
So I love thinking of it as financing, what we're financing what we're using our life force to finance. So if we're sick, our life force is going into financing that illness, right? The conversation, the illness, the physical ailments. So all of the energy is kind of returning, right? Right back in. It's not going out into the world. It's not magnetic. There's nothing magnetic about illness, right? It's very like, it's an insular situation and painful for some. So if you're using all of your, not just physical energy, but mental and spiritual energy into this illness, there's nothing being able to radiate out. So getting the digestion to calm down and suddenly to eliminate properly and to detox properly and to come face to face with some of the insecurities that come up around doing that work, and suddenly prioritizing what you feel like on the inside instead of solely what you look like on the outside, that in itself is such an amazing step of self-love. To go, I'm going to embrace being uncomfortable in my body for this moment so that I can work through this instead of just giving up and going back to my normal ways, because the normal ways didn't work before, right? So it's like working through that, and then that energy becoming available to begin manifesting your best life. And I'm so thankful that they're doing the work with your program and your pathway, because they immediately are locking into that and going, holy crap, I'm feel myself becoming a more magnetic person just by having that stress of my digestion clear up.
I love it. I'm so grateful you came on, Unique, and so thankful for the work you're doing in the world, and especially how much you've given to me and how much you're helping me. I mean, I've listed off all of the things that are improving in my body just in 3 months, that it's mind blowing. And I wouldn't have any of this if it weren't for you. So a major thank you. And I'm so excited for anybody who gets the chance to work with you after this point on.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for everything. And I love your energy. I love what you're doing. I love being in your life. And I'm just really appreciative of what you're putting out in the world. I think that kind of love and healing and support is, you know, it's always been needed, but I almost feel like in today's world, it's needed even more. So I'm just really thankful for you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is the Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, the Motivation, the free clarity exercise, and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.